Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Monday morning, Larry Richard with Paul Rasmussen. So locally, a lot of people will be talking about Pittsburgh Mayor Ed Gainey's Chief of Staff, Jake Wheatley, resigning. No details given, as Paul, you indicated in your newscast.
The mayor was asked about that at the debate Sunday afternoon, and there was no comment.
Speaking of which, the debate. Who
yes.
knew that
Very
Corey
few,
O'Connor
apparently.
And Ed Gainey would have a debate yesterday?
The, what is it, the 14th Ward? Is that what it was called?
Yes.
Yeah, 14th Ward Democratic Committee is the host of the event, and the city budget was, I think, Larry, the standout of the contention between the two candidates. Corey O'Connor's main points are the Gainey administration's use of federal dollars, which are running out. Also, his decision to reduce the size of the police force in the city budget, the lack of what O'Connor says is spending on critical equipment like ambulances, fire trucks, and police cars. And maybe plow trucks as well, and then closing rec centers or allocating money for rec center rehabilitation and then not using it for that. Gainey countered with, well, you know, we're squeezing the penny as hard as we can, to paraphrase one of his points that he made, which were, we didn't raise taxes. We finished the year with a surplus. He, you know, thinks that his administration has been a good steward with the budget money.
And so it starts.
And we have until May to figure this all out, because that's when the primary is.
Right. And for all intents and purposes, the winner of the primary is almost guaranteed to win the race in November.
It's just possible there could be a third Democratic candidate. As we heard last week on Marty's show, the owner of Greater Pittsburgh Tree Service, Carlos McClintock, was on with Marty and said that he's considering a run. He'll discuss it with his family and wait for feedback from others. He was disappointed in Corey O'Connor's statement about the immigration situation.
And also, based on that, that with Jake Wheatley leaving as chief of staff, he had a major role in the Gainey administration. So the question is, who will take that place? And that will be an important decision moving forward. Tariffs are the talk around the world, as the president has put into place tariffs on Canada, Mexico, and China, for starters.
Yep, they'll take effect on Tuesday.
He tweeted yesterday, I have implemented a 25% tariff on imports from Mexico and Canada, 10% on Canadian energy, and an additional 10% tariff on China. This was done through the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, because of the major threat of illegal aliens, deadly drugs killing our citizens, including fentanyl. And he went on to say, we need to protect Americans. Now, Prime Minister in Canada said only 1% of your fentanyl and your immigration issue is due to the northern border. And then at a hockey game, when they were playing the national anthem in Canada, we got booed.
And that's happened more than once, by the way. I'm sure it's happening pretty much at every hockey game in, you know, Vancouver, Calgary, Edmonton, etc.
So now,
and all by the way, too, the president, or the prime minister, rather, Trudeau, right? He asked Canadians to start buying only Canadian products.
Right. And so then Donald Trump said yesterday, I expect a little pain, but it'll be long-term gain, short-term pain. It sounds like PennDOT. Remember they used to say temporary inconvenience,
right, yeah.
Permanent improvement. So we'll see what kind of impact this has on so many different products.
I think the standout for me is the auto production, vehicle production.
Right, because they make plants in Canada and Mexico.
Right.
And how much stuff do we get from China?
For example, the car that I was driving was assembled in Mexico.
Yeah, so obviously economists are evaluating this and try to project what impact it will have on each one of us as consumers.
It's definitely going to change if the tariffs take effect and prices start to change. It's going to change consumer behavior. People will be attracted to vehicles that are assembled in the United States.
Yeah, I don't know what the percentage is, but...
You know, and really, it may not be as simple as that, because how many of the parts that we're getting to assemble cars here come from Canada or Mexico?
And you're exactly right. That is the issue, because it's not just one place doing everything in that one place, no matter where it is.
So if you're thinking about buying a vehicle and you're ready to pull the trigger, today's the day, a good day to strike. Yes. I have a friend who's going to be picking up, by the way, a friend who test drove my Rogue over the weekend.
Fiercely redesigned.
He's going to pick up his new Rogue this morning.
There you go.
There you have it.
Yeah.
One test drive was all it took.
You got a good point. If you're on the bubble about buying a car, you might want to pull the trigger now. Meanwhile, Super Bowl week, Super Bowl 59, Sunday night in New Orleans. The teams have arrived in the Queen City. No, it's not the Queen City.
It's the Crescent City.
Crescent City.
Yeah.
Queen City is Cincinnati.
That's
I don't think you want to go there for the Super Bowl.
No, that would not be a good idea.
So the Philadelphia.
It would be a good idea if you wanted a bowl of chili. But.
Eagles and also Kansas City Chiefs trying to be the only team to three-peat.
The Chiefs are still a 1.5-point favorite.
Interesting to see where this will go. And over the weekend at the Pro Bowl, Russell Wilson, Steelers quarterback, was asked about the possibility of him going to the Raiders and reuniting with his old Seattle coach, Pete Carroll. He said, I like Pittsburgh. So
yeah.
That was actually a positive indication that he really is hoping to work something out here.
Yeah, I went back over the comments that Art Rooney II made about the quarterback situation, and he said, we'd like to sign one of them. So I wonder which one it's going to be.
Well, if you're looking for the future, you might want to consider the younger one. In this case, Justin Fields.
If that's true, Larry, then they're going to have to change the way that they approach offense, because to use him properly, you need to turn him loose.
Give him the keys. Let it rip. So you're going to hear all this week. They go through this whole series of Super Bowl stuff.
What a dog and pony show.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. Download the free Odyssey app. Take us with you wherever you go. AUDACY will keep you posted on breaking news, weather information, and crystal clear digital quality in our talk shows. Starting with Marty Griffin, 10 until 2. Over the weekend, tariff talk. President Trump signed the executive order that imposes steep new tariffs on Mexico, Canada, and China. Canada responded hours later with retaliatory tariffs of its own, while Mexico's president ordered retaliatory tariffs on a range of U.S. goods. Here's CBS's Chanel Call.
Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau pushed back.
Less than 1% of fentanyl, less than 1% of illegal crossings into the United States come from Canada.
Trudeau also said Canada would slap 25% tariffs on up to $155 billion on goods, including alcohol and fruit. Chanel Call, CBS News, New York.
Energy imported to the U.S. from Canada, including oil, natural gas, and electricity, would be taxed at 10% under President Trump's tariffs. So it's hard to say exactly what kind of impact, but you generally get the sense, and you don't have to be a mathematician to figure stuff's going to cost more at some point. It just is.
And Trudeau's statement is, you know, obviously correct, but I think that the president was talking about one of the reasons, just one of the reasons that he was imposing tariffs on Canada was because he felt that the trade balance was still very lopsided. And for example, Canadian banks can come and do business here in the United States, but American banks are prevented from doing that in Canada. And that's just one example of what he's talking about. I don't think he means Canada's the primary problem when it comes to fentanyl and illegal immigration, although that's the reason he put forward when he announced the tariffs to begin with. So,
well, we'll see where this goes. Is it somehow a negotiating tool and tactic to see if they can work some other kind of deals out? We'll see. In the meantime, watch 60 Minutes last night. The top story was Republican Kentucky Senator and former Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, who has a book out. He was one of only three Republicans to vote against confirming Pete Hegseth as defense secretary. That has put him at odds with the president, but he has been at odds at times and said they had some, over the years, very spirited conversations. Now, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who has criticized the polio vaccine, among others, is being nominated as the Secretary of Health and Human Services, as many of you are aware from last week's really spicy confirmation hearings. Mitch McConnell had polio when he was 2 years old and spoke to 60 Minutes and Leslie Stahl.
He did signal some reluctance about the nominee who would oversee the nation's health care system.
You're a polio survivor. There is one of the cabinet nominees, RFK Jr., who says that the polio vaccine killed more people than polio. What are your views about that?
Well, the polio vaccine, it's been a huge success.
It was interesting to watch because he's been around a long time, right? 82 years old. And this is it for him. This is his swan song.
Can't recall a time that he wasn't in office. It's just like Strom Thurmond and...
Right, not in our lifetime.
You know, these people that have aged well into their... Dianne Feinstein would be another one that comes to mind.
And yesterday, we talked about Groundhog Day. It was interesting, and it always has been to me, to see how they view it around the world. I mean, they cover it, Sky News in Europe. It's covered, and there are other imitators and imposters, you know, like Prairie Jim out in the West, General Beauregard down in Atlanta and Georgia. But here's how it was described. I love this. A man in a top hat and a groundhog say to expect six more weeks of winter. Famous groundhog Punxsutawney Phil saw his shadow. Traditionally means bad news for spring lovers. This year, it was a record-sized crowd. You mentioned how, when you saw the video, Paul,
yeah,
how just enormous the crowd was. It is the largest in history.
I have to tell you, I received some very funny memes over the weekend on Sunday about Punxsutawney Phil. One of them was a groundhog at a microphone, standing up in front of an old-fashioned microphone, singing, "I ain't nothing but a groundhog." And then you've got the ones that said, you know, "I'm not a meteorologist."
Well, to that point, they go on in this report from Sky News. The tradition has been going on for more than a century. Actually, it was the late 1860s. And in 1993, the movie Groundhog Day made people truly care. Here's the quote. "If this news makes you feel low, remember, he's a rodent, not a meteorologist." just keep it in perspective.
It's like the old Star Trek line with Dr. McCoy when he would like get upset with the cat. He'd say, "Damn it, Jim, I'm a groundhog, not a meteorologist."
So that's over for the year.
Oh, fun stuff, though. And it was great to see the turnout. It really was. When they lifted him up and then you got the shot of the crowd, it was, oh, my goodness, look at this.
Action-packed. And the year, the first year that Phil was doing this as a grandfather, remember?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Phyllis is hacked off, though, that he spends so much time with those guys in the hats. From the P.J. Fitzpatrick Home Improvement Traffic Center, AAA Traffic powered by Bowser Genesis of Monroeville, Ellen Gamble.
That's so cute.
Right. Super.
Indeed. All right. Not so super is the fact that we are going to have a road closure, guys, happening very shortly here in Scott Township. Police say the Vanadium Road will be closed from about 6:30 this morning until 7 tonight for filming. This is happening between Main Street in Scott Township through to Washington Pike in Collier Township. Police and flag crews will be on the scene to get you around that closure, but do leave some extra time to do so there. Starting to get some delays in the rush hour, just minor ones, though, a little bit of slow traffic on the Parkway West inbound right around that Banksville on-ramp before the Fort Pitt tunnels, and the Parkway East inbound is sluggish between Edgewood-Swissvale and the Squirrel Hill tunnels. Our next AAA traffic on the fives at 6:35. I'm Ellen Gamble on 100.1 FM and AM 1020 KDKA.
And this is a most unusual start to February. We're looking for a high today of 60 degrees, mostly cloudy, breezy, and later warmer. But we're just above freezing now at 33. We'll go to 32 tonight. Could be a shower around midnight. May fall as a little mix. And then we'll be watching Wednesday. Some freezing in the afternoon. Untreated surfaces could get slick. And then we go to near 60 on Thursday with a chance for a thunderstorm. Yeah, you heard that right. 33. Marty Griffin, 10 until 2 later this morning, followed by Colin Dunlap, 2 to 6. Larry Richard on the Big K Morning Show. And we welcome you to February. Mentioned it's going to be 60 this afternoon. Kind of crazy after the extreme cold we had at half of January and 21 straight days of measurable snow when we started the new year. That said, in the next half hour, we'll go live to Philadelphia, get the latest on the medical jet that crashed over the weekend, killing 7 people, 6 on board, 1 on the ground, 25 other people hurt because of the crash and explosion on the ground, 5 still in the hospital, 3 critical, and we'll get more details. We'll go to KYW News in Philadelphia in the next half hour. You've heard a lot about plans for the future. You're going to hear a lot about the NFL for Super Bowl week, and we've heard a lot about next April, and they've set the dates for the NFL draft. There is a lot going on in town. And joining us, who is part of all of the vision of the future for the city, is the president and CEO of the Pittsburgh Downtown Partnership, Jeremy Waltrip. Jeremy, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'd love to see your planning calendar because you've got a lot going on for the future of this city. And part of that is inspired by an opportunity next April, but beyond that, what is your short-term and long-term vision of downtown Pittsburgh?
Yeah, you're right. A lot of it is kind of spurred by the NFL draft and kind of the need to get things done, but this is a conversation that we've been having now for several years about how we can ensure that downtown Pittsburgh is a place that we all are proud to be a part of and want to come down to for the next 5,100 years. The pandemic has changed the way that we use the city. We do not need quite as much office space as we have downtown. So we're thinking of ways that we can ensure that some of these historic office buildings, our office building is 110 years old. It probably doesn't deserve to be office for the next 100 years. What can we do to make sure that it's a viable structure moving forward?
And one of those projects is about to get underway, reimagining the famous iconic golf building, right?
That's right. Yeah. There are plans to turn that into a hotel and residential building. And that right there is really taking a lot of private dollars. And you may recall this fall, the governor came down and talked about how he's committed to downtown Pittsburgh and announced a $600 million investment of public-private dollars. And this is just part of that. I mean, our goal is to see about double the residential population in downtown Pittsburgh. We have about 7,000 folks living there now. We want about 15,000 folks. We feel that kind of getting this portfolio mix right will create streets that are vibrant, that have small storefronts filled with local entrepreneurs that support a vibrant retail and restaurant district and create a community that people want to continue to live in and see that grow. We'd like to see eventually more families down there. I remember when I moved to Pittsburgh 13 years ago, I was like, how many kids live downtown? About 5 kids, I think, total. And that number may have tripled, but it's still not where we think it should be and where we think people want it to be.
And you really came from a big, big city, Brooklyn, New York, 13 years ago when you arrived in Pittsburgh. Obviously, we've gone through this transition, and much of that was spurred by what happened during the pandemic. And then it probably broke your heart to see the challenges downtown and people afraid to come downtown. But that is changing right now.
It is changing. We had a big year in downtown in 2024. And with these investments, we're looking to see bigger things even happen. We kind of rebounded 100% from our visitor perspective. So folks are coming down, they're shopping, they're dining, they're coming into the city from around the world, really, and reminding us of what a great place that we have. I think that we can be our worst enemy when it comes to that. But it's such a great place. We feel lucky to be stewards of it. And again, we want to make sure that the work that the things that we're saying, that we're actually putting into action, that we're accelerating this economic growth and that we're creating this city that you want to be a part of.
And give us some idea of what we will begin to see as this transformation takes place. What will be some of the obvious signs?
Well, you're going to see about $70 million invested in public space. Later this week, the Pittsburgh Cultural Trust will be sharing their plans for the 8th Street block. So 8th and Penn Avenue is going to have a beautiful public space, and they're going to release those designs. We are going to the Historic Review Committee and then the Planning Commission this month for about a $14 million renovation to Market Square, and that's just starting. You're going to see about four or five new housing projects kick off. On February 15th, we're going to be doing a ribbon-cutting ceremony for the former GNC headquarters, which is now almost 200 apartment units. They are drop-dead gorgeous. If you're looking for a place to live, you get the inside track here. Go check these out right at the corner of 4th Avenue and or 6th Avenue and Wood Street.
And also, we have some major events in the region, which will bring a lot of people to Pittsburgh, and that one major one that I think of is the U.S. Open coming in June back here. That brings people from all over the world.
It's such a fantastic event, and you will definitely see Pittsburgh shine a light on downtown Pittsburgh. We'll have thousands of folks staying in downtown. We're going to be putting some mini golf in Mellon Square. So if you can't get on the links up in Oakmont, you can definitely come down to Mellon Square and try your luck there.
Or come out to my neck of the woods in North Park. I always speak. I've been at these charity events, Jeremy, and people are like, oh, I'm a member here, here, there. Larry, where are you a member? I said, North Park. It's actually, we have a reciprocal with South Park.
Exactly. That's so, me. Mellon and Market Square. Those are my memberships.
Where do you direct people to get more on what the game plan is?
You can find everything you need to know about our organization and our work at downtownpittsburgh.com. We have our annual meeting later this month. You can come check it out. We actually have three folks from different cities in similar roles talking about what they're doing to transform their downtown. This is not just a Pittsburgh opportunity. This is something that cities around the world are working on, and we're excited to learn from them and share some of their experiences in our community.
Appreciate the update, Jeremy. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Jeremy Waltrip, President, CEO of the Pittsburgh Downtown Partnership on the Big K Morning Show. We're going to check on traffic situation, already some challenges, a warmer weather pattern, and in the next half hour, we'll go live to Philadelphia for an update on the last night in Los Angeles. A big shout out to the first responders due to the LA fires and portion of the proceeds from the night, including some commercials where they allowed local businesses whose businesses were destroyed by fire try to reignite. And it was different than any Grammy show that I've ever seen before. Trevor Noah hosted.
How did he do?
I think he did very well. Walking the line, you know, it was really professional, and he's also got a biting sense of humor at times, but I think he walked the line really well, especially with that crowd.
And finally, Beyonce took home the top prize, Album of the Year, Cowboy Carter.
Yeah, for a country.
Yeah.
Basically, it was a country song and album that, you know, finally got her.
Yeah, she was nominated four times for Album of the Year, but this is the first one. You'd think that she'd have a couple by now.
And you know who seemed really excited for
it? Oh, by the way, she also got Best Country Album. How about that?
Right.
It was. Yeah, it was Best Country Album. Are you referring to Taylor Swift?
Yes.
Well, I was going to say what shocked me was that regulars like Billie Eilish, Taylor Swift, you know, they kind of just were able to enjoy yesterday. I think they were happy for the others that were able, you know, like Sabrina Carpenter. There was a rapper who won, you know, and beat out Kendrick Lamar, took home several.
Five awards, actually.
Isn't Kendrick Lamar the featured halftime performing guest?
He sure is.
At the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
On Sunday. One of the cool things, and Lady Gaga's strange, but... And the sky is gray. So she dressed, I didn't even recognize her.
No.
Bruno Mars and Lady Gaga.
Listen to that voice of hers, man.
So she graduated from Tisch School of Arts at NYU. And she is just extremely talented.
Oh,
she fully immerses herself in whatever character, acting, singing, with the hair, the brows.
She does it all. Yep.
She's
an entertainer. She's not just a musical performer.
Right. Yeah. She's just an entertainer.
And parents run a restaurant in New York City.
Oh, really?
Wow.
They own one. And what is her real name?
Oh, my gosh. Hold on. Why do I want to say Stephanie? I don't think that's
Stephanie?
I think that might be her real name. Yeah.
Hey, Siri, what is Lady Gaga's real name? Why doesn't Siri talk to me anymore?
I think we're right.
It's Stephanie?
Yep.
Yeah, wait a minute. I had it there a minute ago. She took it from me.
She's like, erase.
She's not playing fair.
Siri giveth and Siri taketh away.
Right.
Now you got to know it. It's Stephanie, Lady Gaga's real name. Let's see. Hang on. Yeah, Stephanie Joanne Angelina Germanata.
Wow.
Wow, that's actually a really pretty, like, super long name. It's pretty.
People who have long names like that are usually the princes and princesses over in the UK.
Right. Four names is intense.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so big
deal. Chapel Roan as well. You see it on the TV right now. She took home
Best New Artist, right?
Yeah, and she called out labels. She demanded, you know, an affordable wage as far as healthcare goes. And she said, if I ever win a Grammy, I said I would do this. So it was kind of cool. Very unusual, as you said.
Yeah, the performances were fun.
Creative,
But I guarantee if you saw it, Lady Gaga, you wouldn't recognize her.
No.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, that's why I said the hair, the brow, she transforms herself to, like, new eras.
Did you
see,
though?
She likes to do that.
She has a way of standing out in a crowd, doesn't she?
There's a local group that put together the Yinzer Grammys, and one of them was... It was hilarious.
Oh,
was the Century Chevrolet commercial jingle as
best
song of the year.
Should we nominate the what's the Christmas song they did at the Fan? We should nominate that.
Mulsey the Snowman.
Yes.
Donnie Iris.
Yeah.
Definitely got a Yinzer Grammy Award.